You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Mitch ready for it. Tar Heels with a stunt, and now right into it. Gamecocks break out with Sean Thorson at the 30, 25, 10, 5. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Sean Carson. 48 yards. Little number 7. With the extra point, you get the Gamecocks up 17-13 with 12:45 to go in the ball game. Play clock down to 8. Williams calling for the football. Shotgun snap. Williams steps up in the pocket. Now got to roll right. Got some pressure throwing late. Picked off in the end zone. Stay in the end zone. He drops down. Sky Moore, his second on the day. Sky Moore. That's all he does. Interception. Gamecocks takeover. Touchback. The third pick of the day of Marquise Williams.
Hello, Gamecock Nation, and welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode number 79. TRC stands for the Rubber Chickens, and you can find our writings at therubberchickensblog.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at RUBRChickens. We are brought to you tonight by our good friends at BlueMoonDisc.com, makers of the authentic Discada plow disc cooking pans, the ultimate tailgate cooking accessory. And if you visit BlueMoonDisc.com and use the promo code TRC2015 at checkout, you can receive 10% off of your entire order. Have you guys visited BlueMoonDisc.com lately?
I have, and I've entered the promo code, but then it asks for one more item.
Money, a credit card
money,
number.
My debit card, and I haven't done that yet, although I'm hugely, hugely sad that I haven't done it yet.
Yeah, you need to.
I'm thinking it makes a great birthday or Christmas gift, and I might be aiming at one of the.
Do you have either one of those coming up?
Birthday, and I guess Christmas is not too far away.
When's your birthday? It's February. Yeah, right?
Yeah, there's another birthday that comes before then of someone else that's important.
Oh, so do you think your wife would want a an authentic Discada plow disc cooking pan?
I thought last year she asked for a bowling ball. Isn't it?
Yeah, right. She just wants me to be happy. It makes her happy if I'm happy.
Like when you bought that boat, that wasn't for you.
No, that was actually a mother. I'm not kidding. That was a Mother's Day present for me.
Yeah, a Mother's Day present for you.
Yes.
Good. You are a mother. I'll give you that.
But anyway, those fine people at Blue Moon Disc.
Please go visit. The ultimate tailgating. I made fajitas again this past Saturday, and they were delicious. Really? Yeah. I even got all the Blue Moon Disc spices. So, anyway, I'm Buck, and I'm joined, as always, you are hearing T-Bone and the G-Man, neither of whom took a snap at quarterback versus North Carolina last Thursday.
Are you sure?
Well, there were 5. I don't know. Maybe one of you was out there in a jersey I didn't recognize. I'm not sure. But
I was wearing number 7.
Sean Carson. We'll get to Sean Carson in just a minute. But, you know, overall impressions, we're 1-0. One win, no losses, which is better than we were at this time last year. It was a painful opener, which is pretty common.
Typical.
Yeah, typical for the Gamecocks to put us through at least a little bit of pain in every opener. Actually, you know, nothing ever really comes that easy for South Carolina football, it seems like. And Spurrier said today that it's not in our DNA to blow teams out. Did you hear him? He said that today on the conference.
Yeah.
So in other words, we're going to be playing a lot of close games this year. So
he's just preparing us for the stark cold reality of the fact that we don't have a lot of offense.
Right. So yeah, and let me prepare you folks for reality. We're going to talk about reality here. We're not going to talk about things that we don't wish bad things on the Gamecocks or any of the players. We want to win every game by 5 or 6 touchdowns. But what we're going to talk about tonight is the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is we beat North Carolina, which was a 6-7 team and was one of the worst defenses in the country last year, we beat them by 4 points. So, T-Bone, what do you got? Overall impressions?
Well, I know, first off, that you're not a true Gamecock, because if you were a true Gamecock, you wouldn't be talking that kind of trash.
Right. I would be supporting our guys no matter what.
Support our guys no matter what.
Right.
Yeah. But that to the side, as you were saying, reality. You know, overall impression, would last year's team have won that game?
No. I think that's one thing. One of you said that via text the other night, that this this team would have found a way to blow that game.
I was impressed by absolutely nothing in that game from us except, you know, our punter, and the O-line had some good blocks late in the contest. Other than that, it was just grit, which was nice to see.
Sky Moore had a pretty good game.
Well, yeah, but a lot of that was just hanging in there.
Yeah.
You know?
I have to say, though, when we didn't make the fourth down play, I was pretty sure we had lost the ball game, because they proceed to march straight down the field, and if, you know, I think Mike Bobo must have snuck into the press box
and did not give the ball to Elijah Hood.
Because without Mike Bobo's, you know, phantom appearance coaching the Tar Heels, I think we lose that ball game. You give that guy the ball about three times, we're toast.
Did you see Elijah Hood on the sidelines too? He was preaching to anybody on that sideline who would listen, like before, during, and after. Even after they stopped, he's looking at people. He's got a little bit of a smile on his face, and I don't know exactly what he was saying, but I can imagine. Can you believe they didn't give me the ball down there on the goal line?
It was 11 yards a carry, and they didn't give it to me when we had 11 yards to win. You know.
Yeah, it was either him. It was either Mike Bobo or Pete Carroll.
Did not give the ball to their own.
But here's the thing, you know, that didn't happen. They didn't do it. So people like to explain away, like, well, we just intercepted two passes and they did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You know, we did and they didn't. We played to our strengths and they didn't. That's the whole point.
This just goes to show you, though. I mean, games, there's a fine line between winning and losing a lot of times. And last year, some of those games that we lost, If one first down was made at the end of the ball game, or if Bryson Williams actually wraps up, was this Hurd, was that his name? We win those games, you know, and then the conversation is completely different. You know, you gritted it out instead of blew it. So in this game, we quote gritted it out because, you know, because
we made the plays when it mattered.
Yeah, we did. I agree with that. I mean, we made the plays and we won the ball game, but it's such a fine line between winning and losing. I'll tell you what, I mean, I'm glad to be on the winning side because that'd have been a tough one to swallow if we'd have lost it.
Yeah, I wrote in the transitive property report that I did that we may not have been the better team on Thursday, which is very anti of what I typically say, because it's kind of like Clemson a couple of years ago with their six turnovers, and they said, well, you know, if we hadn't turned the ball over six times, well, yeah, okay, well, get better players that don't suck and that don't turn the ball over, and maybe you'll win the game. So, you know.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, their quarterback, I mean, you got to be, you know, turnovers are part of the game, a very important part of the game. So, you know, the passes he threw were, you know, pretty bad, but you got to say, I mean, we were living right. I mean, the ball that Mitch threw, that all of us, the entire Gamecock fandom was like, don't throw it when the guy drops the pick six. Right. And then we had two fumbles that I think our guy was like the only guy around who falls on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, right. Other than, I mean, we were pretty fortunate.
Oh, well, yeah, when Debo fumbled, there was nothing but light blue around that ball. Right. It was all light. Who recovered? Was that Jarrell Adams recovered that?
Jarrell recovered one.
Oh, no, it was Guger.
Guger.
I think it's a hard G. I think the second G is a hard Guger. I think it's Guger.
You're right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, we got out of there. How about the way – I want to talk about the way the game started. You know, we take the kickoff, down it, come out to run our first play of the season, and get a delay of game. Now, Spurrier today blamed that a little bit on North Carolina coming onto the field late. But I still don't know how – you know, I guess Spurrier wanted to see North Carolina's alignment before he decided what play he was going to run, but – come on. I just never see that happen to anybody else. And it seems to happen to us all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seemed during at various times of the game, you look over and you see the quarterback doing this. And I'm waving my arms like, hurry up, get the play. Come on, hurry up, hurry up. And people next to him like, come on, we're running out of clock. So I don't know if that's a Spurrier indecisiveness. I don't know if it's because he's 70 years old, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of flow, you know, even when we had Shaw and Dylan Thompson and they're setting records and our offense is clicking, it seems like there were always moments where, you know, we just sputtered because of that. But anyway, that's not exactly where I wanted to go. I kind of wanted to go with Connor Mitch when probably had about as bad a first quarter as he possibly could have.
You got to go back to Tommy Beecher to get worse, because Tommy Beecher was connecting on his passes. They were just going to NC State guys.
Right. You know, even one decent pass that he threw, Jarrell Adams looked like he had never caught a pass in his life, and it just bounced off his chest. So, you know, Mitch did bounce back. When he started running the ball, it looked like he got more in the flow of the game. And I don't know that he ever completed a pass 10 yards down the field. I mean, everything
he threw one pass to Googer.
He
hit him on like a square end for about a 15-yard gain. And then he hit him on the one where he got the taunting penalty.
Right. That's right.
That was also a very good throw. And so – anyway.
Apparently, here's audio of what happened on that play. Hey, man, we got a first down. That was it. That's what he said. He was talking to a player on North Carolina. That's what he said.
I think his quote was after the game. He said, "After you know, what did you say to get the dummy?" He said, "I asked him, man, what's up?"
Oh, that's a penalty. We're backing you up. Look, son, you're lucky we don't throw you out of the game for that. So he did recover, but I don't know about Connor Mitch. And this is one of those things where I don't want to come off negative, but it's one of my fears. I was hoping that Connor Mitch would play a game such that my fears would be relieved after the North Carolina game. Maybe he'd go, you know, 13 out of 20 for 175 and a couple of touchdowns. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. That's great. He didn't turn the ball, even though he probably should have on that one pass.
And that one sack.
Yeah. So
let me say this, though. And he looked awful to start the game. I agree. But if you just think about a few things, like David Williams drops two passes that he should have caught, right?
Yep.
Jarrell Adams should have called the one that hit him in the chest. Agreed?
Yep. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then the two deep balls he threw to Debo, both those balls were very well thrown. One of them was defended. Debo didn't have a lot of separation. But the second one, you know, I don't know, half the time that ball's brought down for a big play, those balls were on the money. So, you know, I there were a few encouraging signs. If he gets those three drop passes back and, you know, gains about 20 more yards, you know, he's, 12 out of 22 for 150 yards. Not as ugly, you know. I mean, it wasn't a thing of beauty by any stretch, but I thought he bounced back and started playing a little better, and he moves better than I thought he did.
He moves better than he actually does. That's the big thing. That's a good point. He was moving around pretty well. He's
in between Connor and Dylan. He's not as quick as Connor, but he's quicker than Dylan. So you know, there's something there.
So while we're talking quarterbacks, let's go ahead and get this question out of the way. It's from Connor Tapp. At meet me at Taps, that's with two P's. He says, which quarterbacks will be on the South Carolina roster at the beginning of the 2016 season? So I think what Connor is asking is, one of these four guys is not going to be there next year. Who's it going to be? And I don't know about Connor Mitch. The jury is out on Connor Mitch. I want nothing but the best for that kid. But if he gets benched for the last 3 to 4 games of the season, you know, if he falls behind and somebody else is playing well, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not here next year.
What? You're burying our quarterback after
No. I'm giving you a scenario in which he's I'm answering the question. Yeah. The answer to the question is,
I hope he doesn't listen to this show. I really do.
Chances are he doesn't.
The odds, right?
It's basically your mom and his wife. There's one other dude that doesn't even go to Carolina anymore.
Good.
I'm answering the question, which quarterbacks will be on South Carolina's roster next year? So Brandon McElwain is coming in. And Brandon McElwain is going to compete for the starting job from day one.
We hope so.
I totally believe he will.
The four that we will have next year are the four that we have this year. And Brandon McElwain will be playing for the Asheville Tourists or whatever.
Oh, you think he's going to play baseball?
Nah.
No. I think if there's a guy that the most likely guy that won't be here next year would be Skarnecchia. Because we saw Orth come in on Thursday. If something would have happened to Orth, I honestly think Nunez would have been the next guy off the bench.
I think, with
a little mix of Pharaoh. And going back to the offense, I mean, that's how we got things clicking. As we put Pharaoh back there, we had some direct snaps to David Williams. Didn't Wilds take a direct snap or two?
Wilds took one. And be honest, when Wilds took that direct snap, were you expecting something bad to happen? I don't know why. I'm like, oh, God, he's going to get hit and fumble. I mean, he's our starting tailback. But something about that just didn't feel natural.
Yeah. It was a good play. He gained like 6 yards.
Yeah, it went great.
I'll tell you one play that I watched, the botched play where Pharaoh was back there and did the little pop pass to Hurd.
Yeah.
That play had a chance. I watched that play like 4 times, and Will Sport tries to cut his guy and just completely whiffs, and that blew the play up. And I think everybody else had their guy sealed off. I think if Hurd could have gotten to the corner, that could have been a big play, but the whole thing was kind of botched from the beginning. There were a couple of plays that we botched that, man, just one block, and I think something big could have happened. There was a really good article on SB Nation that showed some of our offensive plays and how perfect the spacing and the blocking was, and I can't remember who wrote it. I'll try to link it on the site if I can find it, but it was very complimentary of our offense, even though we only put up 17 points. And Sean Carson, man, I mean,
we
have made fun of him for, 6-7 years now?
And right.
At least.
Right.
At least. Yeah.
I mean, this is his fifth year, and as I wrote on Sunday, I was starting to feel kind of bad for him when he wasn't back deep on kickoffs. He hadn't taken a snap, and then, you know, third quarter, all of a sudden he's in the game. And I think I told you guys, I like paused the TV and went to the bathroom and came back. And I hit the play button, and that play was the next play, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's Sean Carson. He looked good, and he looked good the next series, moving the ball down the field when we got to the fourth and one.
That's the perfect time to use him, though, because he doesn't have a lot of moves. You know, he's not going to juke anybody. He's straight line speed kind of, but when the defense is starting to get tired late in the third quarter, early in the fourth, you put that guy in. That was beautiful. That's the kind of stuff you see. Yeah.
Think about this. Sean Carson, even if he never does another thing, I mean, the run in the Florida game where he went like 58 yards, and that run right there, I mean, those are two big plays, man.
That's worth a scholarship right there. Yeah, those two plays.
You don't win either one of those games without him.
No, he's already contributed more than some people. I was trying to think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, so on the defensive side of the ball, we held North Carolina. I went back and looked at some of North Carolina's score totals from last year because there were a couple of games. They scored 21 in their bowl game. They scored 7 against NC State, and there was another game that they scored 20, I think. But last year, they were in between like 35 and 50 just about all year. I think they scored 35 on Clemson, which had a pretty stout defense last year. So, you know, we gave up a lot of yards in our – I hope we don't have a bend but don't break defense. I would like to have a don't bend, don't break defense. That'd be my – that'd right. be better than having people eat up yardage between the 20s.
Good luck with that.
Especially nowadays. Yeah.
Because not everybody on our schedule is going to make boneheaded throws like Marquise Williams did.
And that's kind of a worry because if you read stuff out of the North Carolina media, they were saying this is last year's bugaboo back. We can grind out yards like crazy, but through questionable play calling, questionable personnel decisions, questionable execution, it doesn't turn into points. And they pointed to the NC State game, and they pointed to the bowl game, and they said that's specifically what happened in those games. And that kind of made me pause a little bit in my glee at our bend don't break defense.
But also, when you get down to inside the 10, I mean, those fast break offenses, they said they struggle when you don't have as much field. You know, everything's sort of jammed up in there, and we played zone, so we just got everybody dropping back in a zone. I mean, you watched that, the last interception from – There's like an aerial shot of that on the and you just watch and look at all the guys we had in the end zone. I mean, there was nowhere for him to go with that ball. I mean, he just had to throw it.
And we had a big sack right before that between Quay Lewis and Dante Sawyer.
Right.
Kelsey Griffin had two sacks.
Saw the day where Kelsey Griffin played 12 snaps.
Spurrier said that in the post game. He's like, what did he play? He only played like five snaps. Got two sacks on five snaps. So we got Kelsey 12 Quarles. Snaps. Kelsey Griffin, Kelsey Quarles. Hey, it's the same person. The defensive line was great. Obviously, Sky Moore was fantastic. So let me go negative on you again.
Of course.
Where is Bryson Allen Williams?
He's the backup weak side linebacker.
But man, I thought he would be having by now. This is the first game of his sophomore year. I mean, he looks like a beast in his uniform. I thought he'd be having like a Sky Moore kind of an impact
Where are you going to put him though? You tell me.
Well, he's a tweener. That's what I was going to say. He's too small for defensive end, and he's really a little too big for linebacker. And with the emergence of Jonathan Walton last year, that's put him on the second team. But I just thought he'd be one of these double digit sack guys. I mean, double digit tackle guys every game.
If he's on a different team that runs a different defense, is he your starting Mike? I mean, is he a middle linebacker body style?
Well, there were a lot of people who wanted to put him there last year, and that was sort of the thing. They wanted to move more over to the weak side because he's only about 210 or whatever. But in this defense, where your middle linebacker plays a lot in pass coverage, I mean, Moore is perfect. And so, Walton, Williams, where are you going to put him? Because we're playing five defensive backs a lot of times out there. Right. I mean, Gurley started the ball game. Yeah. So you just don't have that many spots for him, unfortunately.
Not on that point directly, but talking about defensive personnel, the mystery of Chaz Elder has not been solved.
I read about it today. They just said that they just threw him on the depth chart up there, but they still competed up until the day of the game, and they put Lamons, just went ahead of him, just got ahead at the last minute.
Whatever. So Elder didn't play a snap.
Not a snap.
Yeah,
I'm telling you this. Was he there?
He was there. He dressed and did not participate. And there's more to this story. I don't know. Everybody's like, yeah, well, Lamont's just beat him out. Well, we were rotating four or five cornerbacks in there.
Right.
And Elder didn't play.
Maybe he was hurt. Who knows?
Elder has had a couple of bad concussions. I kind of worry about him. He had one where he got knocked out against Clemson a couple of years ago, if you remember. And he was out cold. And I think he had another one before that. So you worry about guys who have those types of concussions. So not saying that's what it was the other night, but it is a little bit of a mystery that he was number one on the depth chart and we never saw him on the field. Corners looked okay. It seemed like to me on a lot of plays they were still given a ton of cushion. They were given that Lorenzo Ward cushion, 10 or 12 yards off the line of scrimmage, and they would run. North Carolina wasn't taking advantage of that with short routes. They were running these deep ends or post patterns, Bug Howard what's his name from Gaffney?
Davis.
A couple of times.
Davis. Quinshad.
Yeah, he'd look good in a Carolina uniform too, South Jeez. Carolina uniform.
Especially right. This year.
And I love Isaiah Johnson. He was a tad on the wild side the other night. I mean, the first play of the game, he gets the 15-yard penalty, and then on the Bug Howard touchdown, I don't know, he came in just like a bat out of hell. I mean, he had no intention of wrapping him up and bringing him down. He just threw his body.
I tell you what, though, he doesn't make that play when he separates the guy.
Different ball game.
We might have lost the ball game. Yeah. I mean,
but
that was
there's still a part of you that wants, like, Burgess Meredith to get a chicken and take him in the alley, let him chase the chicken around.
Catch the chicken,
like,
Isaiah.
Get down, something. I don't know.
Yeah, that was a big play in the ball game. I mean, that was what we were looking for from the safety right there, that blow-up play.
Yeah, he looks good back there. Oh, and on another thing I noticed on the first play of the game, I don't know if I texted you guys this, on the jet sweep, the pop pass, whatever you want to call it, to number three for North Carolina.
Artavis Scott?
For North Carolina, yeah.
His name is Switzer.
They were totally trolling us with that play. I don't know why they never ran it again after the first series.
That's what somebody said to me. Like, one of my friends who's a Clemson, he's like, why did they run that play again? I'm like,
But if you watch Cedric Cooper, he comes completely free on that play. And you can tell he's looking for a read option. Yep. And I guess he didn't notice Switzer coming. So he sees Williams make a move with the football, and he stops. He does probably exactly what he's been taught to do, and Switzer just runs right by him. If he just
Look where his helmet's facing, because I've watched that. You mentioned that during the game, and I've watched it probably five or six times. And if you look at where his helmet's going, he is reading. Exactly that. And he's looking at the running back, and then he's looking at the quarterback, and then he watches the ball go by.
Right.
I mean, he had to be as pissed as anybody, but I think you're right. I think that's what he's supposed to be doing in that place.
Right, yeah.
If you're the coach. It looks ridiculous from where we're sitting, though.
Yeah. So, good effort by the defense, hoping we can get some consistency, maybe get some three and outs, not give up so much yardage between the 20s, but hard to be too critical of that group. Special teams was as good, aside from the return game, which was pretty much non-existent, not anybody's fault. I mean, deep kickoffs in the end zones and
what else is new?
And I mean, fair catches and but the punting, Sean Kelly, the newcomer of the year so far for South Carolina.
Somebody tell me his background, because I do not know the story there.
Florida International?
Right.
Or Florida, not Florida Atlantic. I always get those two.
FIU.
Florida International. He quit Florida International. Is he a junior?
Yeah, he did not play football last year.
Okay. So he punted at FIU and then quit the football team and then walked on here.
I don't really know why and how, but that's the story. 1 year off and he's here. So.
And he was burying those things. I mean, inside the tent. That was awesome.
Yeah, and I sent y'all that picture of him. He looks like an accountant. Hey, after that punt, do my taxes.
Right. Well, he's got to have some cold quit blood in him somewhere, because that's what
the way he was dropping bombs inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
That's nice to have a punter. Nice.
Right.
Yeah. It's been like 10 years since we've had one too. I mean, really.
Yeah. I mean,
Spencer Lanning. Spencer Lanning, maybe.
Lanning Spencer. Was he even a punter in
he was our place kicker. He did everything. He punted and place kicked for us.
Yeah. But that the faith that he runs and his sudden emergence, doesn't really parallel to anything that's happened recently. You got to go back to who was the guy who went to the NFL. I should be able to think of his name. His coming out party was against Mississippi State when everybody just forgot to block the kick, and so he ran for a first down.
Oh, Ryan Succop.
You remember that play? That's what this one reminded me of. It's like, who is this guy? and I now love him.
Hey, yeah. I've got a question. Do you think Kelly can return kickoffs?
Yeah, let's put him back there.
Couldn't do worse.
He's got as good a chance as anybody. Heck, man, put Sean back there after the night he had against North Carolina. So we get the win. It wasn't pretty, but a win is a win is a win is a win. We're 1-0. Taking a look at who we got coming up next, we got Kentucky this Saturday. Did you guys get a chance to see Kentucky play Saturday night?
I saw the
ladder. I watched the first half and just decided, well, we're screwed, and I turned it off. So I don't know what happened.
I saw the end only, and they got carved up late. But then they got lucky on the last drive, a couple of penalties on the defense that just gave them the score towards the end of the ballgame.
Right, right. Yeah, so I don't really know what to expect at home against that team. They've got some weapons on offense. They've got a questionable defense.
Questionable depth, particularly on defense.
Right, right. So that noise in the background is my daughter. It's her bath time, and she loves her bath time. So,
hey, don't we all love our bath time?
We do. She loves it a little more than most, I guess. So let's go back and give some rubber chicken awards. How about that? I forgot to do that. So since T-Bone usually comes up with the oddball rubber chicken, I'll go to G-Man. Who you got for the BlueMoonDisc.com rubber chicken award?
I thought it was the Blitz Jewelry rubber chicken award.
Blitz Jewelry never paid us. So,
oh, dang it!
Blitz Jewelry's going to have to come off the hip.
Mitch, please.
I'm going to give a sort of a position group award to the offensive line.
He always does this. He always does this. He gives like a unit award.
I'm going to give my rubber chicken to the entire offense.
let me say this. We've already given a lot of love to Sean. We've already given a lot of love to Sky, okay? But nobody's talked about the O-line very much. And I think they played a good ball game. We had one sack on Mitch, maybe. One. And and we ran for 200 and some odd yards. We opened up the hole in the big touchdown run. I thought the offensive line played very well. So I'm going to give my first rubber chicken of the year award to the offensive line.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Kelsey Griffin, who we've already talked about. So two sacks in 12 plays. So if he can get one sack for every six plays he plays this year, he'd be like an Ohio State player, basically. He would be right, that's how awesome he would be.
We'll rename the X button on our controllers the Kelsey Griffin button.
T-Bone, BlueMoonDisc.com rubber chicken award.
Rubber chicken has to go to Brandon Fauntleroy Cornelius Wilds. Just kind of when we needed to complete a pass, when we needed a big play, it really doesn't pop out at you on the stat sheet. But, man, when he gets the ball on the sidelines, the confidence factor in our offense just goes way up.
Yeah.
I love those little passes to him on the perimeter. And I feel like right when the game was starting to maybe slip, he made a couple of points.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Turner called it after the game an All-American type performance.
Really?
That's a little much.
He said that. I think he got a little ahead of himself, but it was very good. So well, I give my rough
I give you this on. I give you this on him. How nervous were you when we got the ball back with 3 minutes and 30 seconds to go?
Oh, yeah.
And you're thinking, well, just like last year, we couldn't get the first down to win the game against Missouri or Tennessee, right?
So, I was strangely calm during that. I don't know. But maybe it was the bourbon. But I felt like we were actually going to close that game out for some reason. I had no historical reference beyond until you go back to like 2013. But so Brandon Wilds, T-Bone, you got any Twitter questions for us?
We got a few. There's one in here from. Let's see. We already did Connor Tapp's question. We've got right beside that Brandy Mills, who is at Brandy C. Mills.
Dot gov.
Dot frankmartin.alt.gov. What is at Frank Martin SC spirit animal? Probably. What's his spirit animal?
He's a,
probably.
He's a,
this is a timely question because we're not touching basketball at all tonight.
He's a bear. I don't know. He's I don't know. Yeah.
Big lovable bear.
Anybody disagree with that? She also asked, "What is Coach Spurrier's spirit animal?" Probably.
Oh, did she? I didn't see that.
He's a lemur.
He's a raccoon.
Right. I'm thinking of something like...
He's a freaking raccoon. How did he get my garbage? I don't know how that happened.
He's rummaging around in your backyard right now.
Exactly.
What you looking at? You ain't never seen a raccoon before?
Throwing up plays in the dirt.
She also asked, what is your spirit animal?
My spirit animal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of a weasel.
You are kind of a weasel.
Yeah.
I think.
But here's the challenge to the guys behind whatever that children's book is with the Gamecock, Just a Rooster or whatever it's called. You know what I'm
talking
about?
Just a Chicken. Yes.
Just a Chicken.
Friend of the show, Kev Roche.
Yeah. I want to see Kev Roche do Spurrier as a raccoon in my garbage can.
We need to commission that painting.
I smell Pulitzer here, okay, if we could just get that to happen.
You smell something.
There's a play clock up behind the trash can.
Exactly, and there's like elaborate locks on it.
All right.
Anyway, and the trash can's orange. Nate Kaminsky at Phone Hand.
You skipped Brennan Rollins.
I'm coming back to that.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It's a pace.
Gotcha.
Which was more impressive, surprising during the UNC game, Ard Kelly kicking excellence or Moore's INTs?
I think it's got to be Kelly's kicking. You know, Ard was, I mean, he was launching them through the end zone. And Kelly was a complete unknown. We knew Sky Moore could pick some balls out of the air and make some tackles, so that wasn't a big time surprise. I'd say the kickers.
I think you're right. Anything on that, G-Man?
Check.
G-Man's confused because we're talking about social media.
you guys still on that Twit book stuff?
Right, exactly. You kids and your Instagrams. Brennan Rollins at Brennan, that's B-R-E-N-N-A-N, Rollins, asks, can HBC and O staff get calls into our new quarterback with more than 2 seconds on the play clock? Add stress, no. Takes away any pre-snap read time. He answers his only question. That is the pre-snap read time. We're really into checking out the defense.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go to Q-Nall. Q-Nall's got like 3 questions.
All right, Q-Nall. If HBC retires, name your top 3 realistic choices. Q-Nall weighs in with his top 3, which are Gary Patterson.
See, I don't know that Gary Patterson's realistic. I think TCU has got a lot of money. I mean, unless he's really disgruntled, I don't particularly see him leaving TCU.
This is a step down for him. I mean, you're competing for national championships, and the guy's about 65 years old anyway.
Is he that old, really?
Yeah, he's in his 60s.
Yeah,
I'll tell you who I want. I'll tell you who the flavor of the day is for me right now is whoever that guy that was the head coach at Colorado School of Mines, and he invented the back shoulder pass.
Bob Stitt. The guy he's coaching Montana right now?
Yeah, he's like South Dakota State or something, wherever he ended up. That's the dude I want. He's like 51.
Well, yeah, they beat South Dakota.
The number one? Yeah, they did. Yeah.
Was it South Dakota State? Yeah, North Dakota State.
North Dakota State.
Ah, yeah, it's somewhere up there. I don't know about geography.
That's the guy I want, because I want to see it. He even said in the post game, he's like, yeah, I'm curious if my stuff would work with guys with speed.
Yeah, so Bob Stitt is a guy. Another guy I thought about the other day is Pat Fitzgerald. People used to always go crazy over D'Antonio at Michigan State, who is never going to come here because the same reason of as Patterson. Why would he? And plus, he's pretty old. But, you know, Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern just continues to run out good football teams at Northwestern.
Right. It's amazing.
I don't even
but,
know.
But, you know, on the same kind of school, but we can quit worrying about this. We don't have to tell each other, yeah, maybe James Franklin anymore.
Right.
I never wanted that guy. I mean,
somebody from South Carolina has got some voodoo, and when they stole Paris Palmer from us, yeah. Whoever that Gamecock is just smoked some voodoo on Paris Palmer and the Penn State program.
I read she's got little
Paris Palmer dolls with pins on it because he gave up like 8 sacks on Saturday.
I read something about Franklin the other day after the game by some Penn State columnist or whatever, and they said the analogy people use to describe him is empty suit.
I always thought he was very, very Dabo-ish.
Yep.
Yeah. Kunal Das has a couple more. First play, UK will run. If I were them, I'd run JoJo Kemp.
Exactly.
And see if we have figured it out.
I'd totally troll us. Yeah. Another Kunal question.
Finally,
he actually says, what was your reaction to all SEC within the AP poll and 10 overall? Even if we beat UK, I doubt we get in. Yeah, if we beat Kentucky, that'll move us up to about number 30 in whatever voting there is.
Where it should put us is we'll finally be in the others receiving votes, which we're not even in at this point.
Right.
He goes on to ask, what's the correct ratio of peanut butter to jelly on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? I'll hang up and listen.
I never ate peanut butter and jelly, so I have no idea.
Really?
No, I'm a peanut butter only man.
A lot of jelly. Heavy on the jelly.
Jelly?
Yeah.
I like just a little jelly. It's like maybe 3/4 peanut butter, 1/4 jelly. Right. And I like grape jelly.
I like grape jelly. That's good. Good call.
So the Buckster comes in with
the
question.
Yeah, the Buckster, friend of the show. He's got a good question here.
Says, hey
guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time tweeter. He says, first-time at tweeter, which is kind of funny, but... if you could have dinner with one living person, who would it be?
What made me think of this is I was watching John McEnroe on the pregame of the Williams sisters match.
You always get a little too into John McEnroe.
Have I ever even mentioned John McEnroe?
Oh, God. Have you ever not mentioned him?
I have never in my life.
Can you be serious?
Talk to either one of you about John McEnroe.
Jeez. You and the McEnwood that you get.
McEnroe is the most.
Here he goes. Here he goes.
He is the best, like, commentator, color guy. He just seems like he would be a great guy to go out and sit down and have dinner with. He would be in the conversation. I don't know if he would be the final person that I pick, but he would be in the conversation.
I've got a question about it. I'm curious about G-Man's answer, but my question is, you know, where do marital vows and sort of things fit into this conversation? The rules, as I understand them, are one person living you could have dinner with.
Are you going to say Kate Winslet?
I was going to say Kate Winslet. That's exactly.
She is so gross.
Oh, she is a hammer.
Oh. G-Man, do you have any idea who you would?
Oh, man, I'm thinking here. You might have to come back to me. I got to give it some thought.
Yeah, let me just reiterate.
You know, I'll tell you what he's going to say. He's going to say G-Man. That's what he's going to say.
I'm good company. Yeah. I don't like people, so that make it easier, you know.
Right. See, this might be the thing. I was going to reiterate to our listeners. I think we've had this conversation before. I bet a bunch of people in Gamecock country would say Steve Spurrier.
Nah.
Steve Spurrier does not want to have dinner with you.
Exactly.
He does not like people, and he would not like sitting at a table talking to you. I promise.
Right. He's wearing like a little black bandit mask and he's going through your garden.
You do not want to have dinner with Steve Spurrier. You do
not. Yeah. Kate Winslet now. Ooh, boy.
John McEnroe. Or who's the golf commentator that just got let go from CBS? It was so good. There's no way I'm going to be able to think of his name. He's pretty entertaining, too.
David Faraday,
yeah. Yeah. He would be fun. I think he would knock back a few shots with you. So let's move on to a little segment we like to call
This Week in Dabo.
So the Tigers.
I love that.
The Tigers of
good
Clemson.
Good sound effects.
They took apart the Wofford Terriers. What was it, 49-10?
Something. I don't know.
So then Dabo comes out in a straight out of Clemson t-shirt. And then today he talks about Appalachian State as if they are the second coming of the New England Patriots. So
they're not.
Clemson has the mood at all changed up there? Is it still just, you know, clear path to the national title for those guys?
That's what it is up here. They honestly believe that what they did to Wofford week one was exercising the demons that they had last year. You know, they struggled with Wofford before and they now that put that behind them, and now they're moving up a step in class to Appalachian and they're going to toast them. And I mean,
now they've got Louisville. They got Louisville a week from Thursday.
I know they're not worried about Louisville. Not the fan base, anyway. The fan base says without fail that playoff is the minimum expectation for this team.
Do they have any players left, by the way?
I don't know. Ask them. They too deep or whatever it is.
We too deep.
They've lost like seven or eight guys. I mean, yeah.
They don't rebuild. They just reload, baby.
I got you.
Even in the middle of a season.
The playoff is the minimum expectation this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Besides that, I mean, there were no real interesting games over the weekend. You know, the BYU-Nebraska finish was just incredible. I mean, that was what college football is all about.
Here's something to watch. The ACC did not win against the Power 5 conference in week one. They will not win against the Power 5 conference in week two because I think they only have one game, and that's against Notre Dame, which technically doesn't count, I don't think. And then in week three, they have four or five games, including North Carolina, Illinois. Is it possible that we could get through week three and the ACC still not have beaten a Power 5 conference team?
Well, I think we need to keep an eye on that.
We need to.
How about the injuries already? The major injuries that are happening. Have y'all paid attention? I mean, BYU, that guy tears up his foot, broke his foot. And that guy was a great player.
Yeah, Taysom Hill. That's three years player. He's had season-ending injury.
The guy, Pittsburgh, the ACC player of the year.
James Conner.
Knee ligament in the first game. The linebacker at Arizona.
He's only out a few games. Scooby Wright.
Right. But he's like, you know, first-team All-American out. Notre Dame starting tailback, torn ACL, out for the year. I mean, it's just like, and there's more. I mean, it's just a rash of major, major injuries at the beginning of the season.
Knock on wood, man. Knock on wood. We do not need any of that. Although it seems like every day somebody's missing practice because of a hamstring or a.
That's every team.
You know, back spasms or something like that. Every day, It gets you all tensed up.
Just gives gives the website something to write about. I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, Kentucky on Saturday, feeling good? Don't know how to feel about it? Toss up? Think we'll win?
The margin of victory for us against Kentucky in the last 12 years, I believe, at Williams-Brice, the average margin is we win by 20.
Okay.
Check that out. That's three touchdowns.
Yeah, but so, that's got that Connor Shaw game in there where he went off on them, though.
Yeah, like, but still, 50, it's an average.
56-17 or something like that.
Yeah. I expect that we're going to win, and we're going to win comfortably would be the wrong word, but it's going to be an 11 or 12 point win.
G?
I was going to say 10, so I'm going to go 27-17.
That sounds about right. I'll go with that. It is 10:37. My daughter is out of the bath, and I still hear her down the hall screaming with joy. That must have been the greatest bath.
That was like a
bath.
90-minute bath. Right?
And it's just, she's, oh, Lord, it's going to be a long night. All right, any final thoughts before we wrap up the first TRC Unleashed of the season? Blondie, quiet down. Good Lord. All right, we'll let Blondie close out the show for us. For T-Bone and the G-Man, I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com. Go Cox, we'll talk to you next week. What do you think they want?